to our meeting. It is 4:35, May 8th. Call the meeting to order. Approve the minutes of April 10th, 2018, regular meeting, and April 17th, regular meeting.
So moved.
For both.
All.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. Any changes? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 157. Adopting proposed local law number 8 and local law amending law 6 of 2014 to improve and strengthen the stability energy loan program.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
158, confirming reappointment of Carol M. Smith, M.D., MPHEA as Commissioner of Health and Commissioner of Mental Health. Someone move it, please. Second. Dr. Smith is here with us. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good luck.
Thank you.
159, confirming appointment of Christine Dawson as Commissioner of Ulster County, Commissioner of Human Rights, and Director of Ulster County Youth Board.
So moved.
A second, please.
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion? Want to discuss anything?
You
sure? This is Christina.
No.
No.
I'm sorry. It's
not.
You don't want to discuss it?
Kristen. That's Kristen. All right.
Christina Dawson, not here?
She's not here. She was at committee last night with the Resolute Programs Committee. They endorsed her candidacy last night.
Well, this is the important committee, though.
I told them that.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Well, Congratulations.
Let her know.
There you go.
163, setting a public hearing on tentative budget of Ulster County Community College for the year 2018-19 be held Tuesday, June 12th at 6:30 p.m. I would assume that's at the community college, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Any discussion? If not, roll call. In favor, say aye.
Did we have the first and second?
I made the motion.
I first did.
Okay. Thank you.
171, creating 3 full-time caseworker position amending 2018 Ulster County Budget Department of Social Services. Let's move it first. Second?
Second.
All right, this was talked about last week. Ken said that he was going to come in and explain what he's doing, why he's doing it. The bottom line is, from what I see, that he found monies within the budget itself. It's not going to come out of contingency. First, Lynn, then Joe.
First off, thank you for the narrative at the end. I do have a couple of questions, though.
Mm-hmm.
You showed a trend, the trend up from 04 to 2017, but it was just went from, I think, 57 to 61. Was there dips in the year intervening years where we didn't see the full?
No, I think we just grabbed the system for.
Okay, so it was all the same. Okay, and one of the other things that you had, you were talking about, you had attrition last year due to retirement. You had some retirement this year, and one for cause. How many actual individuals left, and for what reasons? Do you know?
Mike, do you want to help me with that one? I think this is the caseworkers that
7
lost.
That
went
this year.
Yeah, so
7.
It was a combination of retirements. We had people that we had brought in at an entry level position, and they left the position before they left. They completed training.
The training is pretty intense.
It's very intense.
Right? How many months?
Off the top of my head, it can be a 6 to 9 month time frame, depending on when OCFS's foundation trainings program is available. I want to say one individual we ended up discharging because during the probationary period it became apparent they were not meeting the requirements of the position. 3 of the 7 people left for other job opportunities. I think 2 with the state and 1
for the same kind of work?
Not the exact same kind of work, training, but I think they went to positions at OCFS and left the area.
Oh, okay.
And then another person, I believe, left for a position with Health Alliance or Westchester Medical Center.
Was it a salary issue?
not that it was brought to my attention.
Okay.
It may have been a person looking for work in the same subject matter, but in a different capacity with different functions. And then I think the remaining three were retirements.
Yeah, and I think that unemployment is low right now, so there's a lot more competition.
Well, and that's what I was worried about. If we're spending all this time training them and then we're losing, I didn't know what seven were due to leaving, and was it a salary issue or what?
It's a combination of things, but let's be honest. Of all the entry-level jobs you could do here at Ulster County Government, it's one of the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you're dealing with very, you know, with crisis situations, with a lot of intensive, you know, work that has a lot of requirements attached to it.
Right.
Not everyone's suited for it. Mm-hmm. Some people get started, they realize it's not for them, but they find another job easily in this market. I think that with this this mid-year addition, one, it helps us kind of build that kind of that reserve, so that when there are, you know, people retire, people leave, it builds up enough of a reserve so that we can better, you know, adapt, you know, and we have more in the pipeline as we, you know, we look to replace staff as they go forward. So
I think another dynamic to be mindful of is we do have, and I'm sure it's going to be something that's experienced across a lot of industries, we have a lot of people arriving at retirement. I just had a letter on my desk from a caseworker who informed me that he's retiring. He's been with us for 25 years.
Mm.
He's arrived at that age where he's eligible to retire. He's retiring June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes eight.
Yeah.
And I could have another letter of that nature on my desk tomorrow. I don't know. But we do have a lot of people that are in that wheelhouse around that length
of longevity.
Losing,
but you're losing all that experience too, right?
Yeah. And, you know, any organization has to try to prepare for that eventuality.
And also, there's no set, you know, guideline for how many cases a caseworker should have. And what we find is that the more experienced workers can handle more cases than someone who's green and just started the work. So, again, that's why we also believe we need a larger pool to draw from. Mm-hmm. So as more experienced people leave, where they may have been carrying 25 or 30 in a caseload, you know, you've got to have more people to
and spot you're them. Funding it within the current budget.
Yeah, so
of
what,
the department.
So when we I gave you a heads up last month. We had talked about contingency. I knew Chairman Gerentine and others. You know, were like, you know, it's early in the year for that. Of course, you know, our goal wasn't to, you know, we don't, you know, well, we're also early. We also don't want to cut services early in the year. But we were notified a couple of weeks ago that that our expected Medicaid local share payment will be less than what we had anticipated in the budget. That created enough room so we were able to, quite frankly, when you look at the math, that those dollars in the budget are 100% county dollars. We're going to be able to leverage, you know, 60 to 70% reimbursement against these dollars. So it actually is a savings when you look at the budget analysis that's included with the resolution. So,
great. Thank you.
Joe?
I had a question about that because I remember, and you partially answered it there. You had mentioned contingency just last week, and I was just wondering what changed, where all of a sudden you found that money.
Yep. So we received a notice from the State Department of Health that our required Medicaid payment would be about $7,000 a week less. So we were able to, you know, identify those funds and apply them toward this resolution.
And when was that you found that?
Late April.
Yeah,
Before you mentioned contingency, it was after?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you have some unfilled positions in there as well, I think, right? In that department, three or four positions that were unfilled from the beginning of the year. There's enough money right there for one position just for the first 4 months. But I'm happy we're not taking from contingency. So I guess that's okay, but I prefer to, before mentioning contingency and asking for three positions, and I wonder if the chairman hadn't said, hey, go find it, would we have found it? So a point.
Joe, you don't know by now, right?
I mean, I like it.
You heard me talk to everybody, you know, Ken last week about, you know, try to do whatever you can to not utilize contingency at this stage or any stage. We'll look at those all the way through.
Yeah, so also just to respond to that. So the Department of Social Services is our largest unit within the county. There are many divisions and responsibilities, and the work is much different. So there may be a longer-term vacancy in one division. There's not that long. There's not that opportunity within the within our services division, which these caseworkers reside. That's why we're for you today, asking for a couple of additional positions. Excuse me, three additional positions mid-year, because again, large organization. There's not a lot of wiggle room within the services division.
Well, let's look forward here. What do you think about next year? What's going to happen there?
The good news is that, but the nature of the dollars that we identified are recurring. So we believe that we're not going to have an issue with funding these positions going forward. So.
And why was it? I'm trying to pull it up right now and look at it again. Was it the last 4 months that this workload increased? Why weren't we able to ask for these going into the budget process normally?
And so last year we added four positions in our services unit. Those positions were geared toward the child protective services side of the house. And that generated a lot more cases, and we thought we could handle the caseload with our more experienced workers, but with the retirements and other people leaving, it's just clear that, again, when you have more CPS cases, it then eventually turns into more preventative work and more foster care work. So that's why we're here mid-year. And this is normally something we'd want to deal with as part of the annual budget cycle, but given the potential liability of the county and the need to be responsive to this very critical area, the responsible thing is to come before you for some additional positions to give. And again, we were able to fund it internally with recurring dollars, so it's a good thing.
And honestly, for this coming budget, 2019, we probably want to look at putting more money into social services for caseworkers. It is a tough job.
I agree. I prefer to do it during the
budget process.
I'm okay.
Well, I'm a big proponent of once we set the budget, try to work within the realm of that budget. And build that budget. So,
I agree with totally, Legislator Jarantino. Again, but I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have to be here today.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, you would.
When have I ever come? Actually, in my 7-year tenure with the county, I've come for a mid-year position one other time. So.
All right. Any other questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, Resolution 172, it was told to me that they would like to put this on hold until next week. There's some discrepancies regarding either capital projects or some kind of other ways to fund it.
What are the discrepancies happening?
In this resolution, we have it increasing the operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on amending a capital project instead of this. So you'll see it next week. We might withdraw this and just present correctly in terms of resolution.
That's can right. I just, on this topic, can we maybe have someone come and talk to us? I feel like we're constantly talking about these land mobile radios and 911 and upgrades to it. Can we just get a status on where we're at? Because I feel like we're doing it piecemeal based on all these different grants, and I just want to have a sense of what the big picture is.
Who could ask to come?
I don't know, but I'm just...
Steve.
Yeah.
He goes to law enforcement committee every month.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Since I'm not on that committee, maybe he could just report to us. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Just
Steve,
give us an update. That would be great.
See what we can do, schedule that.
Thank you.
I don't know if next meeting, but I'll definitely try to work on it.
Not
next one, right?
Next one needs to be forwarded.
Okay, why don't we assess what the rest of our agenda looks like for next meeting? But at some point, I really would like to just get an update on the status.
An overview
of the big picture. Yeah, what's 911 and emergency radio.
Just let Amber know?
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
So a resolution to put this on hold for at least until next week.
Can we just take no action? Is that, or do you want to postpone until next week?
What do we have to do here?
You can do it, I guess.
If we're taking no action, then it's still on the agenda, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll just hold it till next week, and we'll make a decision next week if they have something. Just hold it till next week.
Okay, are you saying to postpone? There's no
postpone to next week.
Okay, motion to postpone till next week.
Yep. Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Resolution 173. Authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement, an amendment there at the New York State Division of Homeland Security Emergency Service for participation in 2017-18 Public Safety Operating Grants, Emergency Services Management. Move. Second.
Second.
Questions?
This is for 911 dispatchers,
yep.
Right? The payment of, okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
175, amending capital project number 505, replacement of the Walden Bridge over to Salt Hill Creek, down to Woodstock. Mm-hmm. amending 2018-23 capital improvement, Department of Public Works. Moved.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Trace.
So the language in the resolution, which I'm sure I've seen before, is basically saying that we may be eligible for the TIP, but we're committing to fully funding it because out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Not, that
yes.
I want to be clear. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
177. Amending capital project number 508. Fantine Kill Bridge replacement. Town of Rochester transportation improvement. TIP.
I'll move it.
Move. Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
I'm thrilled, by the way. Just to put a emphasis on it. I won't have to ask anymore.
Happy to please you. Resolution 179. We took a roll call on that, right?
Yeah.
179, establishing capital project 510, rehabilitation of Donahue Bridge, Department of Public Works.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
Questions? Discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
181, establishing capital project 526, construction of various shoulders, capital programs, Department of Public Works. Moved by.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
This is the town of Lloyd.
Isn't this a Rochester shoulder?
Yes. No.
Shoulders?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Very
shoulder.
We're on one. Yes.
This is
the one you want.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry, I was too
excited. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll make the motion.
It's already over. It's already happened.
That's what I get for
you. All in favor, say
aye. Yes. You know what, I do appreciate that as well.
183, authorized to convey the county-owned property to original owners, Department of Finance.
I'll move
moved
it.
183.
I'll move it.
A second?
Second.
Any questions?
No.
Burr, just update us on regarding the auction itself?
Yeah, this resolution were those who came prior to auction to kind of buy back the property from the county. We had our auction April 26th. We went to auction with 140 parcels. We sold 85, wow. Of which, I have that number here, of the 85 we sold, 40 were from previous auctions, which is good. So we got some county-owned back on the tax roll.
What's the dollar amount, you know?
I don't yet, Rich, because the final bids aren't due until May 15th or 17th, so mm-hmm. You'll see that resolution in June for those who paid in full.
Is that percentage commensurate with previous years? Or
this is a lot better, because normally in terms of the 85 to 140, I normally have a pile like this of no bids.
Wow.
So as long as I go more than half, if I get more bids on more than half I sell, okay. It's a decent. I was pleasantly surprised with what we sold. And I will let you know, too, Rich, I know last year the Village of Ellenville with tax collections, after our auction, they did have their own. With the county attorney's help and my office's assisting to that point, they did sell three parcels of, I think they had six that were offered for, so they did sell three.
Mm-hmm.
So just to let you know that occurred after our auction. So
it's my understanding the IBM property is one of the properties that are up and nobody bid on it.
Yeah, I mean,
is
we
there another use
we,
for that?
I'd let you come up with it, yeah. It's
well,
only
not,
three
it's
of.
Use. It's a question of the liability.
Right, there's three of, I don't know how many parcels are out there. I could give you a number. There's others that are contaminated that we can't take until they're cleaned up. So, yeah.
And no one bid on the three that we
No, I didn't think.
What were the numbers? Or
I could get. I mean, we offered them for roughly $700,000. There's more than that in back taxes on those.
Okay.
The problem is, there's a master agreement that the owner has that kind of controls those properties. So unless you can work out a deal, Legislator Maloney knows. Jim Maloney knows that. So
second declaration and covenants.
There you go.
Two floors below us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, any other questions? If not, on 183, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
184, approving the execution of a contract with Excess of 50 entered by the county, AECOM Tech Services.
I'll move it.
A second?
Second.
Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
185, approving the execution of a contract in Excess of 50 entered by the county, Parrot Enterprises, mm-hmm. Department of Public Works. Moved.
Bye.
I can move it.
You can move it. A second, please. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
186, approve the execution of a contract in excess of 50, entered by the county, Eastern Heating and Cooling, Department
like
of Public Works. Move.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
187, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50, entered by the county, Peckham Road Corporation, Department of Public Works.
Move.
Second. Second. A second, please?
I second it.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Any discussion? Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
188, approving the execution of a contract excess of 50, the County Acor Corporation, Department of Public Works. Move.
So move.
Second?
Second.
Questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
189, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50, entered by the county, Malone and McBroom, Inc., Department of Public Works. Move.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
190, approving a contract excess of 50, DJ Heating and Air Conditioning, Department of Public Works. Move.
I'll move it.
Second.
A second?
I have a question.
Go on.
So what building is this in? It's like the maintenance facility.
It's
but
the vehicle maintenance up at the DPW's kind of main shop up there.
Oh, the main shop.
Yeah, where the, right, Mark, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, roll call. In favor, say aye.
By emergency one over there?
No, right at the highway garage.
Oh.
It's right where they maintain their vehicles and stuff.
191, approving the execution of a contract excess of 50, entered by the county, United Way of Ulster County, Office of Department of Training. Move it, please.
I will.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
192, approving the execution of a contract excess of 50. This one or the other one?
Yeah, this one.
Okay, hold on. Entered by the county, Peter Luzzi and Brothers, Contracting, Area Transit. Move first.
I'll move for discussion.
Second? A second, please?
Second.
All right. Mark?
We're in talks with them about their insurance certificate and requirements, and I just ask that you postpone this until next week.
Need a motion?
Yeah, we need a motion. Oh, you got a question?
Yeah, first, I have a question. On. I mean, we can postpone it, but I'm just curious, maybe in that week, if you don't know offhand, when did we last do this?
I believe this is in the case since it was built.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did you say?
I think when the building was built.
2003 or
5.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'd just like to get that confirmed. I'm sure we'll make a smart decision.
Yep.
I'm just curious what our time is. But yeah, I'll make a motion to postpone.
Another second, please.
Till next week.
Somebody a second, please.
Second.
All right. All in favor to postpone 1 week? Say aye.
Aye.
193, approve the execution of a contract in excess of 50, at the Buddy County, Link to Life, Office of Aging. Move.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
194, approving the execution of a contract in excess of 50, entered by the County Gateway Community Industries, Office of Aging. Move.
I'll move for discussion.
A second?
A second.
Discussion? Tracy?
I don't know. I sent the request to Amber late, so I don't know. But I would like to see the Schedule A from the original contract, if we could just get that in the interim.
It's in the OneDrive.
It is in the OneDrive?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's just, because it's a renewal, it's just like a two-page.
Yeah.
There's no Schedule A. I'd like to look at the original. I'm okay moving it. I just don't have, I like to have it in front of me. I'm researching, so I'm okay moving it. We don't have to hold it, but I'd like to get them. Yeah, no, I know. I just want to see.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
196, authorize the chairman of the Upper Spending Legislature to enter the lease agreement with the Vindale property, the LLC for a fabrication facility, be used by Ulster County Public Works Department of Public Works. Moved. Aye.
So moved.
Jeff, James, second?
I'll second.
Okay. Tracy?
So, this felt like a flashback to me, too. And I tried to look through my old files, and all I could find initially was our space study back in 2007 or something. I just, I'm okay with moving it given that we have an out clause, but we're spending a tremendous amount of money on this building, and it just seems to me that for a building of this sort of building, that we should be able to, I don't know, construct our own. I wish someone would do an analysis. We've spent $100,000 a year. It looks to me like a triple net lease, so we're paying the taxes, we're paying insurance. I'd love to see all the numbers associated with this. Going back to the earliest I could find was 2003, I want to say. So, 15 what?
15
years. Yeah, 15 years of $100,000 a year. Not, it used to be 90. It's a lot of money for a big building on a 3-acre property. It doesn't seem like the most fiscally responsible. And someone will have to make a compelling argument to me that it is, not just based on the going rate of dollars per square foot. So I'm putting it out there again. I know we talked about it in 7 and 8 and 9, but I think we really need to look at this again. I'm not suggesting that we leave the lease right now and with nowhere to go, but I'm suggesting that we look into it.
Yeah.
It's the first I've heard of it, and it sounds like something worth looking into. I mean, you start crunching those kinds of numbers, what would be that be something Amber or the comptroller's office, maybe the exec's office, if they don't mind, but maybe we could do a year by year, you know, some kind of a quick analytical study about, and then go out. And I mean, we've bought plenty of buildings before. Maybe we should do so. I mean, I'm not saying don't approve this, but
yeah,
over the next year, let's come up with a good feeling on either what we're doing or moving into maybe purchasing a building.
Or constructing.
Or, yeah.
I mean, for these large span buildings, we've built buildings like this, my family's business, you know, 10,000 square foot buildings. I know it's much cheaper for a private enterprise to do than a government enterprise, but I think that we need to have that discussion because it's a tremendous amount of money.
Lynn?
I would assume that that everybody takes a look at what are your rentals, and can some things be combined, and if they're combined, if you build out. I mean, so not just this building. We should be looking at what other buildings we're renting and the cost of the rentals, the cost of the upkeep, and it's better to invest in your own building.
Yeah, and I think given time, I'll probably find my Vandale file, because I had a Vandale file because we talked about it at length. I'm sure you remember it. We talked about it many, many, many meetings, yes, specifically about this property. So here we are 15 years later, or for me, 12 years later, And to see it again, I was.
At least it's for another 5 year lease. It's another half. Million
at $100,000, yeah.
Well, the thing is,
it's a half a million in lease costs. But I mean, I've asked to find out what are the taxes that we're paying? What's the insurance on the building? All this other stuff that we're required to do as part of the terms of the lease. Again, I'm not suggesting on the day of the meeting
if everybody feels comfortable passing this tonight, let's pass this. We'll ask Amber to work with whatever departments, the county exec department, whoever.
I definitely think buildings
exactly
and grounds would be.
Buildings and grounds and see exactly,
departments to talk to,
you know, what we do for release to other buildings, too, not just this building. Put some kind of financial package together, bring it to us, and then we'll make decisions from that point.
Okay.
Yes?
I prepared the resolution for this, and the only amount being paid here is rent. There are no taxes that I'm aware of, and the insurance that had prior been paid was dropped as a provision. So this
are
is
you,
only.
I thought I saw that it said that that we would pay the taxes.
I'm not sure that I know that.
Okay,
so
I'll have to find it in here. But
Rick, you get us that information by next week.
Sure.
Give it to Amber. All right.
Do you want to postpone until next week then? Just
well, we're
going to
pass this anyway. It's not going to be hinged upon if we're paying that or not. So let's pass it.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll look at our future rentals of the lease properties in the future and see what we're going to do with it.
And in that interim, as we're getting that information, can we just have the exit clause highlighted as well?
Yep. So that Marie, can you kindly do that too?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
My understanding is one of the great advantages of this location is that it's sited where entrance and exit. Very easy.
I know. But it's definitely a premium over time. You know, it's a big investment on a rental property.
Right, we'll evaluate all that at that given time. James?
One thing I think it needs to also be a component of it is the value add of the products. The actual bridge fabrication is done there, and the value of what that needs to be equated into.
Why? Because that would be presuming you couldn't do that somewhere else.
Well, build a facility that can support that kind of weight. You're talking with much more extensive construction.
I'd like to schedule a tour of this building again. It's been a long time.
Listen, by all means, we could do that. Let's act with before us right now. That building does have a crane in there that holds a lot of tonnage makes us be able to build long spans of bridge work. But there again, we can go take a look at it, and we'll look at other leased properties too in the process.
Okay. You know, Mr. Chairman, this, again, it's always a good time to go do that. And again, it's a lot of new members of the legislature. It's a very unique property that does a very unique piece of our operations that a lot of counties, you know, don't do in-house. It's helpful to us, and it's always worthwhile to go do an informational tour.
One other wrinkle. Yeah. Did we ever sit down with the owners and see if they would sell it?
Yeah, I think so.
That was a direction many years ago.
I know. At that time, they had no interest.
I can't imagine why you'd want to sell it when you're getting $100,000 a year.
There's always reasons. As you get older in life, you do different things. So
makes it easier.
All right. Any other discussion? If not, roll call on resolution 196. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
197, establishing a policy to limit participation in party politics by appointments of Ulster County officials. 197.
Rich.
Move.
I'm just going to ask to postpone this.
Postpone. All right. Motion to postpone for what? In period of time just next week, or what are you talking about?
I'd be comfortable with a 1 week and seeing where we're at. There's definitely a legal aspect to half of it. This was done in Nassau County through executive order, and I'm trying to do it legislatively, which changes it. There's a legal aspect of this that I think there's different ways we can go on it, and I wanted to get some input. I've talked to a couple legislators already that like it in theory, but I'm just not comfortable with one aspect of it yet. I think there's, like I said, I think there's different ways we can accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, and I may have to pull part of it out or change the approach. But if you give me a week, I think I'd be very comfortable talking about it a little further. And if anybody wants to take a look at what Nassau County did, it was bipartisan, 100% support, and I think it's really worth looking at. I think every county should probably have something like this on the books. But I look forward to talking to anybody that wants to talk about it. But yeah, if you give me a week, I think I can bring something that's.
So make a motion to postpone it a week.
Sorry.
Joe, make a motion.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to postpone for a week.
Second. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Your attorney's at the end of the table. You're aware of the resolution and the legal ramifications of it?
Yeah, we've taken a look
okay.
at it. If we do have a copy of the Nassau County order, have to take a look at that, too.
Well, Vicki has that.
All right. We're done with all the resolutions, the old business.
Is there one more?
No.
Nope.
Oh, I thought I saw something to share.
There is something here, but the 198, but I don't see it on our agenda, so.
Right, please.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming as a late. We received it today.
What did you say?
All right, so
it's the red team.
You should have a copy.
Department of Homeland Security. Every year we get grant funding to participate in this training exercise. They reimburse us for the overtime that goes into it, but they don't get it to us in a timely manner to meet our resolution deadline if we don't accept it by a certain time if it happens. So.
All right, we're going to go into another business, old business. So we're going to go. We're going to take them a little out of order first. We're going to go to RFP for the 2019 executive recommended budget analysis. I know Amber sent everybody an email regarding any input they wanted to put regarding budget analysis, what we'd like to include in the RFP. There was no responses that came back. Amber worked very hard and changed it slightly from what we did last year. Added a couple things and deleted one or two things. Everybody should have a copy of that, what it actually is, of the scope of the work. And the evaluation itself, she changed it from the point system. It was, Amber, that was the qualification experience went from 10 to 15 points.
and the understanding of county goals and objectives went from 30 down to 25 points.
No, opposite.
I'm sorry.
Say that again.
Less points for qualifications and experience, more points for understanding the county's goals and objectives.
This page right here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think she did a tremendous job trying to fit the scope of work to what Ulster County needs. She looked at other places. She put a lot of time and effort into it and did a good job, Amber.
Thank you.
Everybody feel comfortable with this so that we can start moving forward with an RFP and send it out and do our due diligence thereafter?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Anybody have a problem?
No.
All right, so we're going to authorize Amber to work with
Dean.
Who else?
Yeah.
Mark, too?
I will note that last year we had, three. So this has all come about because last month you all decided not to extend the O'Connor Davies contract. Last time around we had three firms bid, O'Connor Davies being one of them, CGR being another one, Government Research. Center for Government Research. And Bonadio, who also does our corporate compliance. And then the time before that, it was just CGR and O'Connor Davies. So we will try to get it out there widespread, but we haven't had luck getting a lot of firms bidding. Maybe with Amber's changes.
Why do you think, when you say we haven't had a lot of luck, is there...
It was done in 16. I don't know. I mean, we did get one more last time than we had in the past with Bonadio because they've been doing work mm-hmm. with us.
It does seem like a small number. I feel like years ago we used to get more.
It's 50,000,
60,000.
Yeah.
For what? How many weeks?
64.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get as many as we possibly can. Hopefully we'll do our due diligence and get the best firm.
And we will need to plan on it'll... The RFP committee will be this committee, but in executive session.
Correct. And the thing is, work with Amber to get it out ASAP,
we
don't wait to the last minute. Get it out whenever you possibly can. There, after this meeting, when it's passed, tonight it's passed. Everybody agrees upon it, right? Ways and means agree upon it.
Yeah.
So do you want to do a formal motion?
We'll make a motion to accept what Amber did here regarding the scope of work evaluation.
I do have a question about the process. Is it necessary when we're, going through the proposals to go into executive session, or isn't that only supposed to be for the final contractual stages?
No, it's the reverse, actually.
Mark?
As you're evaluating and going through, you should really be doing that in executive session. It just, you don't want to give people that kind of knowledge for the next RFP that you're going to put out, because if you're not in executive sessions, then it's on tape. We don't do any RFP committee. It's not public meetings. I would say I don't know that I would take a vote on agreeing with necessarily the scope of work. Typically, that's not how it's done for any other legislative RFPs even. I work with staff on putting together, and Amber would work with you, but I don't, we may tweak this a little bit. Amber may... You all may change your mind. I don't know that I would vote and say this is the exact scope of work that I would put.
All right. Well, basically, the scope of work that's in the scope of work here, somewhere within that realm, we're going to go out there with it, all right?
And we'll get it out as soon as possible.
All right. Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, next we're going to go into the continuation of discussion of autopsy expenditures and reports pertaining to the medical examiner's office. We went back and forth regarding different departments. We have many reports refuting different numbers. We're here tonight to basically try to finalize this and see exactly, what these numbers are and why the numbers are different if they are different. So who would like to start out? Nobody? Or Don? Okay.
I want to thank you for approving the contract last month, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we approved it with the provision that we're going to look at this and see if it's a... of value for the residents of Ulster County, taxpayers of Ulster County, continue with this contract. So, in saying that, Ken, do you want to explain where we were, where we've been?
Sure. I think that you know, we've had a lot of discussion about this contract. It's you know, as you know, that we you know, we've designed a model where we don't own a morgue, so we rent morgue space at the Health Alliance Hospital. We contract with a forensic pathologist traditionally, and all the related pieces that go with that. 2 years ago, when we lost the longtime pathologist that we had used, we went to look to improve our system, and we entered into a contract with Westchester Medical Center for 1 year, which you then just renewed last month, which puts a system in place for us. So we have the services of a forensic pathologist, a lab technician, which is called a deaner, use of the Health Alliance morgue, and all the related lab testing and supplies and whatnot that goes with that. Additionally, the contract provides a system so that if the pathologist is unavailable, they'll provide that backup coverage. That, quite frankly, in itself provides a lot of value. I know that the controller had, you know, let's compare that to Dutchess County. But the truth is this, is, you know, Dutchess County is a much larger place. Everybody has to have the same basic pieces. You got to have a doctor to perform the autopsy. You got to have a morgue space. You got to have the lab testing. You got pieces. The more autopsies you do in a bigger place, you're obviously going to do it for a less per cost case. It's more efficient. You all have the same basic pieces. The more you do, the less cost it is for each one. But what I can tell the committee is that based on the actual experience from this contract in 2017 versus our old contractual methodology back in 2015, there's less than a $700 difference between a full autopsy. You know, apples to apples comparison between the two. So what we did in 2015 to what we've entered into for the next 3 years on a per autopsy basis, it's less than $700 actual cost. So again, we feel real good about that. We think that is we're getting a valuable service at a really good price. And I know that Dr. Smith could also tell you that the results have been much better, where we have we're turning around reports in really, for us, record time. What used to take us 150 days is taking us about 45 days to turn around.
Yes,
and it's also given us the ability to automate our systems, and we now publicly disclose the cause of death of every autopsy case in Ulster County on a monthly basis. I'm not aware of any other county in the state that's doing that. I think that it's important for us as we identify public health trends, and we're looking at dealing with things like the opioid crisis, to have actionable data like that's important, and that's why we're doing it, and we feel real good about what we've done. So.
No?
Was anybody else? Did anybody else raise? Mm. Okay. I think some of the issue was there were questions about alternatives, and we just didn't see a lot of alternatives explored. If they were, great. Did we talk to other counties? There was a level of defense there when trying to get to the bottom of some of the numbers. I think that was a big issue for me. Did we talk to Dutchess County? I would have just felt better that we had attacked this. We just talked about that building there. You know, at the end of it, we'll all be smarter for it. But I would like to see not only, hey, this is the best idea, and here's all the numbers, and this is why. I'd also like to see, and I think Ways and Means should see more often, this is the other thing we could have done. Here are all the same numbers for what this would have been, and this is what if we teamed up with a different county, and this is all the same numbers that if we had done this or continued to do this ourselves. And we didn't see a lot of that, and we don't always see a lot of that, and that's something I'd like to start seeing, the other options and the exploratory due diligence on making sure that that we're not just taking your word for it.
Yeah. Just respond, Mr. Chairman. So, again, let's remember, this is two budget cycles ago. So back when we originally did this work, we did extensive work. I believe Dr. Smith and I worked on this for 6 months. We had lots of conversations at the Ways and Means Committee and the other and the public health level as well, too, back then. And we explored lots of options. The only other viable option to us, then the direction that we went, was to do a partnership with Dutchess County. Dutchess County has an extremely large, modern morgue facility that they purchased and built for about just under $4 million several years ago. So we explored it. We actually did a formal RFP. They responded to the RFP. If you check the documentation that we provided to the committee a couple weeks ago, that RFP response is included in your response. So you're going to see that they proposed to us essentially doing the work that we're contracting with Westchester for in a similar fashion for almost $1,000 more a case, Dr. Smith. So it was a much higher. The other problem with that, too, is you have to remember that when you go to an unattended death, that it's law enforcement's involved. Let's say that we had someone die in Ellenville on an unattended basis, and it's determined by the medical examiner and the police that this is likely a homicide. So because of the chain of custody, officers from the Ellenville Police Department, Sheriff's Department, State Police are going to accompany that body to the morgue to secure the chain of custody. Right now, they travel to the Health Alliance Morgan Hospital to secure those remains. If we were to do an agreement with, say, a Dutchess County, they would have to travel all the way to Poughkeepsie and wait for the time to then go through the procedures to check in the remains. And again, one, it was on its face, it was a lot more costly to do the actual autopsy and that work. But quite frankly, the time out of station for our police officers and the additional expense for them would have been completely untenable, and it would have created a situation that if we had moved forward something like that, every one of you would be here, you know, screaming that we had to go back to the way it was because of the response we've had from law enforcement. In fact, I remember when we had some initial conversations with the Police Chiefs Association, and they were like, no, we're not going to Poughkeepsie with remains. So, again, we feel real comfortable with what we've done. We have a year of solid experience. We've achieved everything we want to achieve. And, again, when you actually look at the actual cost and compare apples to apples, the cost per case is not that much more. And, quite frankly, it's a lot less than our other viable option, which was this potential partnership with Dutchess County.
Percy?
Two questions. So remind me, where were the remains going before this change 2 years ago?
Yeah, so we had a contract for about $60,000 with Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley to use their morgue space. Mm-hmm. We had a contract with a pathologist out of the Rensselaer County area, and then we were also billing separately to a lab out of Albany Medical Center. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, it's pretty straightforward what that is. Right. And what we did is we basically negotiated a much different package because we didn't want to be caught in this situation that, you know, here we are, the pathologist leaves town, or, you know, again, and they're, you know, in this case, this pathologist had taken on so much more work in the Capital District, you know, he didn't have the room in his schedule to take on our cases. That's why he chose not to renew the contract. So we wanted to build a system where we weren't caught in that kind of a potential crisis. So by negotiating with Westchester Medical Center, which is the parent of Hudson Valley Health Alliance, we entered into two agreements. So one, we have the agreement with Health Alliance, which guarantees the staffing for the morgue, which is the pathologist, the full-time pathologist, and or a fill-in if that pathologist is not available. These people tend to do a lot of educational work. They go on sabbatical. They do trainings. They're all over the country.
There's a small number of them, only about 500 throughout the whole country. And Dr. Sicarica, who is our formal forensic pathologist at Rensselaer County, was taking a number of counties because they did not have a forensic pathologist, and he couldn't continue with us back in 2016.
Right. So the Westchester contract includes the guarantee that a pathologist is going to be there when you need them. Mm-hmm. Additionally, they're now doing the ordering of the labs and basically paying that expense and then billing us back. So it kind of consolidates contracts into one. Actually, what we did as part of this work is we decided, looking at the best practices, instead of using the lab at Albany Medical Center, we now use a lab out of Philadelphia, which, quite frankly, has a much faster turnaround, a lot of good results, and that's really the standard that most counties are using today. So we made that change as well. And then as part of that, to balance it all out, we negotiated a contract with the Health Alliance, which is about $40,000 a year less than what we used to pay. So when you balance it all out, we're really proud of what we put together.
Just to one point, though, I mean, I remember when we went through this process 2 to 3 years ago, we went from, you know, the what do you call it, the
pathologist?
Who?
The pathologist?
The medical examiner?
The guy from Albany went to.
It's forensic.
Yeah. I mean, we were very, at least I was very upset that we had a dramatic increase in costs because we had a great deal at that time that we were paying very little. I mean, a gentleman served us very well for that period of time. Thereafter, he changed what he was doing, so they did have to go out and look at different avenues. They did find this. They basically came back and said, we would try it, see how it works, and they expanded to where we are, you know, last year. The whole point is that they have done their due diligence, in my opinion. I know it was a lot more than we anticipate paying, but the bottom line is that the fact that are we getting the best deal or the biggest bang for our buck right now?
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, if I just interrupt you, there's another piece that you're missing. So that increase two budget cycles ago, only a small part of that was for the actual pathology, autopsy function. The vast majority of that expense went into, we have significantly more staff in the medical examiner's office today than we did a couple of years ago. We have a couple additional deputy medical examiners. We actually have a full-time deputy medical examiner that essentially runs the office during the day. And, so that's one of the largest piece. But again, looking at just the autopsy function, through our apples-to-apples analysis, it's just less than $700 per autopsy more than it was back in 2015.
Alicia? And then, I'm sorry, Tracy.
I just want to, because I actually have two questions. Sorry. So, yeah, and you actually led into, so I don't have the information in front of me in my transition to this new computer, but I recall trying to understand the apples-to-apples comparison on the issue of the services themselves in terms of the autopsy, and then noticing that increased personnel as a separate understanding. And I think one thing that would be helpful, and we don't have to do it today in the interest of time or whatever, but would be to understand what those additional personnel are doing and how that changes the office. Something that's important to me is what was earlier mentioned, that reduction in turnaround time, because to me 140 days, I think probably to any of us, is just absolutely unacceptable. So to see that we've driven down that time, but when I asked at the previous meeting, was that due to the additional personnel, the answer was not a clear yes, that maybe that was due to the new pathology lab we're going with, and et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to understand what the additional personnel are doing and how that's changed the office, because that seems to me the most significant cost change once you take the apple-to-apple comparison out of it.
So let me just be clear, then Dr. Smith, you can weigh in. So the total investment that we made on all aspects of the medical examiner's office is what's helped drive down that timeliness and accuracy and work.
So although that's happened primarily, that if, again, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but and correct me if I'm wrong, and if you have the numbers, tell me, it seems that the number was driven down in the last year, not since the inception of the change. The numbers were pretty steady, and then a dramatic drop.
We have one full year under our belt, so it's two budget cycles. We're in the second year right now.
Okay.
So we have a full year of experience, and then we're in the second year of the change. So yeah, so we've had a dramatic improvement, you know, over that initial year, and we continue to, you know, on the same path.
But you're saying the additional people contribute to that change in turnaround time directly?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Alicia, then Kathy.
So just in terms of an apples-to-apples comparison, we're just trying to take the total cost of the office and understand why the total cost of our office seem a little bit out of line by comparison. So again, our report was just a basis of comparison to determine how we're doing here in Ulster, how the contract looks compared to other options. I think the most important analysis would be the in-house analysis. So if you guys looked into that when you did your budget work and maybe looked at possible sites and costs and what Ulster specifically needs, as opposed to looking at Dutchess, which has more autopsies, that bond included improvements to a record center. I mean, you know, if we want to talk about apples to apples, I'm more interested in what it would cost Ulster County to move in-house, because using Dutchess County's numbers make it seem like maybe we could do it for a similar cost to what we're doing now, And the difference is when the bond is paid off, you're going to have a significant reduction. You no longer have bond payments that are attributed to that facility. The cost of autopsy is going to be significantly less than what we're doing with this contract. So I'm not saying that the one is better than the other. I just think that maybe there should be a committee put together. I mean, we've already approved the contract. I'm sure it's going to take quite some time if we ever did decide to move services in-house. I think 3 years would be a short time frame to do a project like that. I just think that it warrants a little bit discussion. In the long game, if you're thinking about your constituents and the taxpayers, I mean, if you want people to stay here in Ulster County, it'll be better for them overall if in 15 years from now the cost of autopsies is in half. Now, if there are other considerations about can they staff the facility, those are great things to consider. We weren't provided that analysis. I don't know what documentation exists or if you kept it or what how far you took it. I don't know if you analyzed what buildings are available, you know, if we have land that's available, what we would need. So my suggestion at this point would be to provide that research or maybe conduct a little more research since now we've approved the contract over that 3 year time frame.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're not going to provide any more analysis from two budget cycles ago, but I would encourage this committee or the controller's office to go ahead and do that analysis. Dramatic change in actually building a morgue facility and what it takes to operate that. And the difference is we don't have the volume of cases. Again, as I'm mentioning, in Dutchess County, they justified that investment because they do significantly more autopsies than we do. You know, based on the, you know, approximately 150 that we budget for, the facility we have here at the Health Alliance Hospital is exactly adequate for our needs. I don't know why we would make such a major investment. It doesn't make any sense to us. But again, the best comparison I can give you is that we went through a full RFP process two budget cycles ago, and Dutchess County responded to that RFP, and I provided that backup to the committee over a month ago. And public information, it's available if anybody'd ask for it. But again, I recall having this conversation two budget cycles ago, why we had such a large increase for the function of medical examiner in the budget, and we had a full discussion both at the committee level and at the budget negotiation level.
All right, so we're going to let everybody talk, but first Kathy's going to talk first, did Tracy, and Joe, and Elliot, and then Alicia. All right?
I'm sorry. I will be quick, but I was present for the initial presentation of this idea when we needed to make this change because the pathologist who was giving us really a sweetheart deal by every analysis that I think you could make was no longer going to be able to do that. And there was consideration of building a facility, but that would be millions and millions of dollars. So when I saw the analysis that was calling for a question of why we weren't doing this in-house, I was puzzled because we don't have a house. And so I think it would be a very different question. And we not only don't have the house, but the reason we were into the process of doing this RFP is we didn't have staff. We didn't have a lead pathologist. A medical examiner, somebody who's certified to do that, and they're scarce. So I think the analysis that I heard several years ago was very, very satisfying, and that we've had people come in who are now looking at the continuation of a contract. It was presented that it would probably increase our cost somewhat, but that we would get better service, we'd have quicker results. And it seems to me that everything that was laid out in years past has now happened, and $700 difference, given that we don't have that pathologist anymore, he was giving us a break that was easily, I think, more than that per case. So it just seems to me that it's a question of getting everybody to look at what was, the prior analysis and then look at our current situation. Then maybe we can ask the question of, was there some alternative that wasn't considered? But those were big-dollar alternatives, like building a facility.
Yeah, I think Legislator Nolan, that you have hit the proverbial nail on the head, because what I'm hearing everybody say is that we'd like to look at that prior analysis, but I'm also hearing that we're not going to get to see it undertake a new analysis. I mean, was there actually an analysis of building a facility that was more specific than millions and millions, that involved actually looking into it analyzing what staffing it would cost. That's the question I have. And if that analysis was done, I think it would be good to see it, because it would probably confirm what you're saying. Because obviously, if you looked at that, that's how you arrived at your decision. I just don't understand why there's a disconnect in that. That's confusing to me.
There's no disrespect from our side. Again, this is two budget cycles ago. I mean, we're being very simplistic. The cost of building a medical facility and operating a medical suit is astronomical. Dutchess County is not the right comparison. Dutchess County is a much larger place that has a huge volume that we just don't have here. The better comparison are maybe Sullivan County or Greene County. It'd be inconceivable in any of those counties of building a major medical facility to do with less than 150 autopsies a year. It makes absolutely no fiscal sense at all.
Joe?
We could also explore a multi-county deal, which would be another big undertaking, but something to possibly...
We did.
Yeah, no, but I mean with one of those other smaller counties. But that preferably border us. But this sounds like maybe Legislator Nolan can help me on that. Sounds like it was talked about in depth with a lot of numbers. This was not an executive session. Can I get the date so I can go back and listen to the audio? And it would be on record with Ways and Means. Amber, can you find from 2 years ago all the documentation that we were apparently provided and the in-depth conversation that was had? If you can get me the date, I'll go back and listen to it that way. And I'll take the information that would, if it was given to us, would most certainly still be on the...
But let me clarify. I think it was in-depth discussions, but the presentation included that the cost of building a facility was millions to tens of millions to dollars, and so an in-depth, and we would have staffing issues. So if you just even take $3 million and divide out by the number of autopsies we do per year at 200 or less, you're talking about a payoff period that is into a 100-year period, I guess. I can't do those numbers on the fly. So those, I did not get numbers down to detail on that, because on the face, it was large numbers that did not make sense to do a further analysis. That was my understanding.
It was in committee, though?
Yes, in multiple committee meetings.
If you can get the date, I'll just listen to the audio.
All right, instead of let's go backwards, let's go forward.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the biggest thing here. I mean, we could talk more, we should have, could have, would have. But we didn't. Hold on. But the thing is, we have something in place right now. The question is this advantageous for the residents of Ulster County? Or is there a better way to do this? I mean, so let's look at that avenue. Let's not look, okay, well, this is the reason why we didn't do it. I mean, you're wasting a lot of time. We still have to, put this service to our residents of Ulster County, all right? How are we going to provide this service the most economical way, all right? So let's start from that point and move forward and say, how can we do this? Maybe we should look at building something. I'm not saying that's the way to go, but maybe we should look at it. If that's not the case, let's see if we can co-venture with another county our size to do this. Maybe they have a morgue someplace else. I'm not aware of this. It's not my area of expertise. But hold on, Ken. All right? But the whole point is, I mean, we can hash out 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you said this, you didn't say this, it should have been this. That's yesterday. Let's not worry about yesterday. Let's do what we can today. And, let's move forward with that. I mean, we're not going to hash over old things. We're not going to change old things. So I would suggest that we look at the future instead of going back to what happened yesterday.
Mr.
Now,
Chairman.
before you go further, we have Elliot, we have Alicia, and then we have Lynn, and then we can take more. Elliot?
So, thank you. So, thank you for refocusing the attention to be more solution-focused than problem-focused. I think I'm glad the report has stimulated that conversation, and I think, in essence, that's what we're looking to do. The one thing that we lost sight of, and I think we got caught up in the autopsy contract itself because that happened to be coming up at the moment in time, is the bigger picture of the medical examiner. And I think that if you look at the report, you'll see three glaring numbers that really should beg this committee and maybe a special committee to ask the questions. And those numbers are, in 2015, we did about $400,000 in cost for the medical examiner, and we had 142 autopsies. In 2016, we did about $450,000 in costs, and we had 148 autopsies. In 2017, the cost skyrocketed to 151% over the 2016 cost, and we went back to 142 autopsies. So the question I think the committee should ask, and maybe a subcommittee, is why are we paying an inordinate amount of money to perform the same objectives that we did over the course of 3 years? And I'm not saying that the autopsy contract is the reason for it, but I think it begs the question of looking at the whole medical examiner and the expenses that it generates.
Alicia?
It was already covered.
Okay. Alicia, Lynn?
So I think there's a couple of things here also in that we have legislators that don't have the institutional history. And so if there is so when this question came up, it created more questions, because some of us weren't here when the in-depth study was done, and we had no context with which to look at what we were being asked to make a decision on. And I think that there is a way we can better balance giving some of that history so that as we're looking at something, we're informed. We understand that you looked at build out and if we had our own facility or what alternatives were available to us. We didn't have that. And so it created more questions because we didn't have the institutional knowledge of what had transpired in the past. So there's got to be a way that we can find to bridge some of that so that we don't.
Yeah, you know, it's always so hard to, determine, how much information somebody wants. But my phone number is really easy to get. I know that several members of the committee have called me. We've had detailed conversations. I know Chairman Ronk and I have had detailed conversations about this particular topic 2 years ago, and we continue to have them today. I mean, but so first of all, just to go back.
No, we're not going back. Let's go forward.
Ulster County is, as we all know, is geographically the size of the state of Rhode Island. The time it would take to take a police officer off of the streets and travel with remains to a neighboring county is not acceptable to any police agency in Ulster County, period. So our option is a centrally located facility in Ulster County. We have one. We now contract for it for less money today than we did 2 years ago. And we now have a system in place where we have a professional pathologist, the related staff, expenses with that, and the backup for when that pathologist is not available. We are based upon actual costs from the analysis from the department. It's less than $700 per case. I think that's a great value compared to the expense of actually building a full medical facility and staffing it. Again, you can't compare Dutchess to Ulster in this particular instance. It's a different place. The volumes are different. We're not going to spend any time determining whether we're going to build a morgue or not. We've done our work. We've presented you a budget which you've approved. If others want to move forward, I wish you luck. We're not going to analyze whether we need to build a morgue or not.
Well, Kendall, to say that we're not going to look, we're going to look at everything. And, this is part of everything. Maybe we won't go in that direction, but we will not be blind and just look forward. We will be very diverse what we're looking at. And if it looks at a building, some kind of morgue, we will look at it. It might not be economically feasible, but we'll look at it.
You build a bridge facility.
All right, Cannon and Joe.
Okay. I'll pass. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say that was. I think that should all be on record. You're telling us you can't get us any information because you've already given so much. Where is this information? I'm actually questioning whether 2 years ago that information was given because...
Joe, they will look for the information. Okay, if Amber's able to give it, she'll give it to everybody. Okay? I mean, let's not harp upon backwards. We got a problem before us. Let's try to rectify what the problem is.
Again, I think the best thing to look at is the response to the RFP from Dutchess County, which was included in the materials we've already been provided.
Kathy?
It's much more expensive than what we paid today.
As we go forward, I think it is reasonable that if either the question of the police transport of what has to be chain of evidence material is a non-starter, or if staffing for a facility is a non-starter, then doing in-depth fiscal analysis on building a facility doesn't make sense because you're not going to be able to staff it or use it. Mm-hmm. And that was the configuration of the information at the time that the decision was made to look for other alternatives because that one was not feasible.
Right, Amber will go back through the records and see whatever she could possibly get to see what was given at the time, what, you know, degree it was given, and how elaborate, and give it to everybody, Amber.
Yeah. I recall meeting with the former legislative fiscal analyst and presenting spreadsheets and meeting with O'Connor Davies at length. Bert was at those meetings, so, you know.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else regarding this? Maybe we will not stop here. We will move forward, not right away, but we will look at the, you know, if this is the best way to proceed for Ulster County. All right. Next, we've got the Commissioner of Finance response to Finance and Budget Department staffing level. Last week, we were given something by Legislator Joseph Maloney regarding the staffing of various other counties. In response, we asked Bert to look at it, analyze his department, and he came up with a memorandum regarding, everybody should have a copy of what he disputes or what he thinks regarding that particular Mr. Maloney's contents were. So, Bert?
Rich, in summary, I just, you know, you just can't look at the finance department of every county. You need to look at what their duties are. You'll notice I made examples of different commissioner of finances are responsible for different things. Also, the charter dictates what they do as well. I kind of explained that too. I also provided a chart that has accurate numbers in the back when it comes to the 2017 numbers. They're different than Legislator Maloney, Joseph Maloney's, as the one he provided included 18 adopted as well as 17 adopted numbers. So I kind of tied it all together. Again, we've been using apples to apples. That's what I tried. I also listed kind of almost, it's not everything. It's a lot of things the Department of Finance and those departments under kind of my duties entail. I will say my staff, we do a lot more with less than what we have. I probably could ask for more staff. I don't.
You can ask. I'm not going to get it, though.
No, but see, I try to lead by example when it comes to that stuff. Also, keep in mind other departments throughout, you know, as we consolidate some of these departments, they don't have fiscal staff. They rely on my staff to help out. My phone's always kind of being answered by those who can help other departments. And that's what we try to do. So,
Joseph,
I just look. I thought it was something to look into. We seem to have a lot more staff, a lot more management. I think
our total staff is less than most other counties on that list.
We're virtually half the size of some of them.
But the duties still.
We have.
I'm still responsible for what.
Mr. Chairman, if I could speak.
We
do have, we seem to have more management staff as well. When I look at the description of what you do, at some point I'd like to get down to what the Ulster County taxpayer is getting extra from their Department of Finance that all these other counties aren't getting and the reason for these extra management staff. The other conversation I really think the legislature in Ways and Means needs to have is this ACE division. And I think that may be what is making these numbers kind of not look right compared to our size and what we're, and you're never, when you say apples to apples, I think this is about as close as you're going to apples, comparing our finance department and what they do to Dutchess and Orange and Albany. There are definitely some differences. I noted a couple of the major differences in my chart. Do we have my chart here as well?
No, because it was inaccurate.
Mr. Chairman.
No, Rich.
Hold on, time out.
He provided something that was inaccurate.
Time out. We're going to have a discussion.
Hold on.
Legislator Maloney has the floor now. When
sure.
He's done,
okay.
I will recognize the next person, whoever they could be.
Yep.
They will talk.
Yep.
All right?
Yeah. Let's have that conversation about how inaccurate it was. Let's really get down to it. And let's get down to ACE, the accountability, compliance, and efficiency. Do they do audits? They sound like an auditing department. I think it was advertised in a way as an auditing department here right online when you look them up. Their mission statement is to strengthen good government and best practices through intense oversight. I've been in Ways and Means for 4 months. I've yet to see anything from ACE. Tracy, Lynn, have you guys, Jim, have you guys seen much from ACE? It was confusing to me when it was created, to be honest with you. I know they had a lot to do with New World. I think we're told that you guys oversee that quite a bit, even though I think there's a lot of outsourcing when it comes to that. Let's have an honest conversation about this chart that I put out.
Okay.
And let's have an honest conversation about those extra management staff. And I'll tell you something else. I think we have somebody on here that we pay, a retired individual, who I hear is a very impressive gentleman. And I don't think he's in our budget. I don't know if we hand that off to the analyst, but I hope we do, that he's included. Let's have that. Let's open up the floor and have this conversation, and let's really get into how... By the way, these numbers were pretty basic in my chart. Can I have a copy of my chart there?
In the room.
Please. Let's open it up. Everybody, let's have a conversation.
Can I ask
what the inaccuracies are in the chart?
Sure. Sorry. I can go line by line.
I'll have Tracy first.
So, I've just... So, Bert, in this...
Sure.
Chairman,
yes.
I think we all
should have been included.
I thought it would have been included with next to Bert's chart.
I think we should have added.
Amber thought everybody would bring it from the previous month to this month. Okay, we don't have it. Amber, why don't you just make a copy of the from Baker?
So before we go through, okay. So two questions. First for Bert. In here, you talk about that. It says Ulster County budgets assigned council costs within the Department of Finance for all attorney and related expenditures totaling over $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go to this breakout,
yes,
the assigned council says zero. So
no, the assigned council is in the finance budget. That $4.2 million of adopted expenses includes mm-hmm. $1 million of the assigned council.
Oh, so it's not separated out at assigned council.
It's part of finance.
Okay, but for comparison's sake, even though it's part of finance, I feel like I would pull that number, whatever the accurate number is, and assign a percentage, just so we're looking apples to apples, that would be helpful. As far as ACE, you know, I remember, and I'm going to go back and do research, I remember when ACE was brought to us. What year?
Lisa,
does anyone have?
2014. But she came to Ways and Means.
I remember when we first had the discussion and talking about the transition to New World, and I also think some of the discussion.
The first part was
the closeout of Golden Hill.
That was the first.
Yeah. And I remember at the time saying, "How are we gonna?" When we talk about the acronym and how are we gonna create a metric for what we're actually saving through this agency, since we're creating a whole new agency that was supposed to live beyond the transition for Golden Hill and has, and then begin the New World transition. But I hope we're past the implementation of New World. So here we are, we're in it. I think it's a fair question to talk about ACE and to get an update and really understand what benefit ACE is bringing to the county that's distinct from a pre-ACE day, because ACE didn't exist before whatever year that was.
Sure.
And so, I welcome that discussion. I'm not going to have it right now, not based on this, but that's also something that's distinct when you're comparing apples to apples, mm-hmm. because unless these other counties have divisions that they've created separately that they call accountability divisions mm-hmm. or whatever, then it's an unfair comparison to finance.
Absolutely.
Because it's another mm-hmm. division. So I think we should get an update. I think we should talk about. I don't recall ACE, you know, reports other than I think one at some point, and I don't even remember what subject it was on. But I don't recall as a legislator getting a sort of updated brief on what ACE is doing. Mm-hmm. So that would be helpful.
Sure. I think one, we'd love to do that, and two, you have to remember, Tracy. Think about just on the capital investment this county's made over the last few years. We've paved 70% of our roads in the last 3 or 4 years. It really, the role that ACE is playing in large part, too, is making sure that all those projects are staying on time, on budget, and accounted for in a very
important way. The point that we're trying to make here, they might be doing all that. We're not aware that they are doing that.
No, we can.
Yeah, we're not getting that.
Mr. Chairman, you have the ability to ask for an update on
I totally understand, but the point that we have is, I mean, that's why we're having this discussion right now, because, yeah, maybe they are doing all this, and they're doing a tremendous job. We're not aware they are doing it. So bring it to our attention. I think Tracy hit a good point here. What does ACE do? Mm-hmm. What are their functions? What are they overseeing? Why should they be a division?
And how are they distinct from what already exists?
And I will say, when they were established,
it was a really specific role.
They're one less position than they were then.
But that was a really specific directive. That's passed.
I mean, and their responsibilities have changed since.
Correct.
That.
So, absolutely.
And that's, I think, the point that has to be part of the conversation.
We will be looking at probably in 60 days of something.
From ACE.
From the what they do, what's their purview of everything.
Listen, I think you should have Lisa come in and
meet with them. Fine. But just give us some paperwork first.
Absolutely.
Because in the beginning, wasn't Cherie Cross? Wasn't she?
Yeah, she was original.
But back to the.
That's what I recall.
Again. Back to the original document that we responded to, the Commissioner of Finance can go through in detail the numbers that are inaccurate that make the whole analysis wrong, and mm-hmm. you can go through that line by line if you'd like.
Sure. Were the budget numbers off? They look very similar. I don't have it here.
The Ulster County budget was wrong.
And the staff numbers, how wrong?
You used the 18 budget instead of the 17 budget.
That's the big inaccuracy that made this a total disaster.
The next column, the executive budget was used for personnel services.
What's that?
In personnel services, you use the exec budget instead of the adopted budget.
Okay, how much different was that number?
It's still inaccurate.
The numbers seem very similar.
It's still inaccurate.
And the staffing numbers were...
Staffing numbers.
That was the biggest part of this, was the staffing numbers, and you're really... nitpicking a 17-18 on one line.
Right.
That's what made this
Orange County,
that right.
Orange County's numbers, you show the 18 adopted budget when it's not the 17 adopted budget.
Yes.
All right. So there was 17-18, which are very similar there as well. I'm surprised that it's not attached here, mind to be honest with you, because the numbers look virtually very similar.
Four.
Thank you.
So 323 to 324.
Yeah.
736 to 754.
Yep.
So, and all the staffing numbers are the same. So for you to say that this is riddled with inaccuracies, the conversation I was trying to start is no different. The conversation that we're going to have is absolutely no different with the numbers that you tweaked in two spots.
I'm just showing accurate numbers.
That's what he just said. Yeah.
And then also making sure that we understand the functions of the various departments. For example,
that's what
we include the assigned counsel costs in the finance budget. It's a huge, huge variance. Mm-hmm.
So
why do we do
no different with the numbers that you tweaked in two spots?
I'm just showing accurate numbers.
That's what he just said. Yeah.
And then also making sure that we understand the functions of the various departments. For example,
that's what we're trying to do.
We include the assigned counsel costs in the finance budget. It's a huge, huge variance. Mm-hmm.
So
why do we do that? Sorry, to jump
that's off, but just my department.
And there's, I think, in I was that there was a question about timeliness when it comes to audits, and I believe that was mentioned that they're short-staffed over in finance.
Timeliness of what audit?
Not the audits. That's
with
the
with the analysts.
No, what I explained to the audit committee that we do our final numbers later because we don't hire additional staff to do the
comprehensive audit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's due September 30th. It's filed by September
3rd. We're later than any other county.
We basically
we're the latest county.
We basically don't hire a consultant to do that.
Correct.
We do it in house. Other counties hire consultants to do that.
As a cost savings measure, yes.
So it's
and Mr. Jarantine, there hasn't been any findings in our own.
I mean, if you guys, you got to have a very open discussion, and you got to be very respectful, gentleman-like people going back and forth, all right? Are these numbers, the staffing numbers, all correct from other counties versus ours?
Rich, the only one I noted on the bottom was Albany County.
All right. Now, the question becomes, what do we do in our county that Dutch's, Orange, and Albany do not do in the fine. Okay.
They have separate budget offices.
Okay. No, okay. We've included that budget office.
Yeah, they're starting.
I mean, I Legislator Maloney mentioned how I have lots of management. The budget office in Dutchess County has five men. I have two.
Look. This is what... Okay. I'd be happy to have this conversation about ACE. Tracy seemed willing to have that conversation. These things that we're told ACE does, perhaps we can get examples. I don't think it should
think
be tough to have...
We
are going to get ACE to come in here in the next 2 months to give us a presentation of what they do, what they're going to do in the future, so that we know what they're doing.
You might also want to include the county controller's arguments from 4 months ago in that discussion as well, too.
Whatever is pertinent for ACE, we will address. Tracy.
Can I just respectfully ask that we allow for ample time for that discussion, not 15 minutes while we're in a packed agenda.
Something beforehand, too.
Yeah, that we actually take the time to have a conversation and start to...
Why you say always rush things?
No, it's just we have a lot of material.
Oh, we have a lot of things before us, Drake.
No, that's
what
right.
What would also be, I think, helpful is the institutional knowledge. What was ACE intended at the point we established it, and how its transition and evolved? Because I think that is to be very helpful.
Yeah, and just an example. I know the health department's here. I have folks at ACE right now helping them. Kind of put in the system how to, you know, operate more efficiently when it comes to recording grants with state aid and stuff like that. So it's a daily thing that works.
Sir, but let us know what ACE does.
No, and I will, Rich. I'm just giving the committee an example. We will. And we'll have something provided ahead.
It's not part of that five-star purchase order hurry-up payment that we started with Lisa Cutler was here.
Is it? Five star.
It was a five star because the purchase orders were so far behind.
That was when she was
something.
The county.
That's when
order.
She was new.
Right. Is
not,
that
nothing to do with that at all. No.
ACE was brought in
no.
to facilitate?
No.
It was brought in at the close of
Golden
Hill. But in its inception, I mean, we can look back. In its inception, it was clear that it was transition. It was called ACE, so it was clear that it was transitioning Golden Hill. But then going to be working on accountability.
Was their primary focus.
Making
so,
government more efficient.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Which we are.
That was.
But
ACES.
I want. Yeah, we do need to. We do. We're the Ways and Means Committee, and we're Absolutely. Elected officials. We're no, tasked with really understanding
so,
what
example,
that benefit is.
The C in ACE is for compliance. The ACE division runs the county's corporate compliance committee. It's a relatively new. Federal and state requirement with regard to monitoring all of our activities as it relates to billing federal medical assistance. And again, we have a fully incorporated unit.
And compliance and audit are distinct differences.
Yeah.
So so I think it's an understanding of it's and in fact, compliance is ensuring that whatever audit unearths. Gets implemented appropriately.
Right.
And
we will get ACE to come in
Absolutely.
And give a presentation, whatever thing.
Can we also get a breakout of the personnel for ACE? Distinct. Okay. But I mean.
Four full time.
Okay.
Burke, can we have a breakdown of every employee in your office?
Sure.
All right.
It's very
easy.
Do?
What's that?
You want to know what they do?
If you want to put it in,
sure.
That's all names, all right?
Not.
Well,
Jim
just said it's in Ron's office.
All right, anything else you want?
That's why they're letting us come in here.
To be included in when we have this meeting?
No, but if we do think we need extra time, then I think we need to have it either much earlier or on a separate day. That's all I'm asking respectfully. I don't want to be
It won't
rushing.
Be a special, separate day. It'll be earlier.
Okay, but let's make sure that everyone can be here.
We'll set a time.
We
always
do.
Yeah, so
probably the 60 days from now.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
All right, Joe, you want to ask any other questions regarding?
I'm good with that.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else?
No, nope. Thank you.
Can I? Oh, yes. Something else. So the college. When are we going to get that? The budget. We've talked about this in years past. I really do not appreciate getting it on the day of.
Right. But the thing is, they should have it into whatever the overseer of their colleges, whatever education. whatever committee name it is. Mm-hmm. They probably should have it in hand right now, I would imagine.
Okay, so can we, 1 year of all the years I've been here, we had an advance copy. The rest of the times we sat down at a meeting and we were handed something, which I'm telling you right now is going to be a problem for me. So can we have a copy somewhere of the budget,
college budget?
Not yet.
I know, but that's
we don't
what
have it yet. How did they vote on it?
I don't think that they did. It's just setting a public hearing for it.
Well, they have to have a budget in hand. They have a public hearing.
Right. This has been an ongoing.
She will get everybody a copy of the budget.
I strongly support the college, but there's no reason that we should not have it first, even in a draft form. And if we don't,
we will get it.
I don't know how we can responsibly vote on it 1 minute after a presentation.
All right. She will definitely get it. If not, we'll make sure she gets it. Mm-hmm. You hear me?
Yeah.
Hear me.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? I want to thank everybody. Motion to adjourn, please.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Amber, there was a couple of things early on. 6:05.